homecoming theme was Hollywood. Standing lights had been set up on the walk leading to the gym, complete with a red carpet. Faculty and photographers, mostly parent volunteers, lined the walk, calling out to attendees like paparazzi. Amber was waiting for me near the red carpet walk. She looked pretty in a pink bohemian-looking dress, loose and flowing around her ankles. Her long blonde hair flowed over her shoulders, and she smiled brightly at me.
"Hi."
"Hey," I said, mustering a smile in return. She nodded at the small cluster of daisies in my hand I'd picked on the way over.
"Are those for me?"
"Oh, yeah," I said, my face heating with embarrassment. "I didn't get you a corsage, but I saw these. I thought you might like them."
"They're perfect."
She laced a few in her hair and tucked the largest behind her ear. She was right. They suited her perfectly.
"You look very nice," I said.
"So do you. Shall we?"
That was something Violet liked to say. I forced a thin smile on my face and put Amber's hand in the crook of my elbow. I endured the paparazzi red carpet walk and stepped inside a dark gym illuminated with follow spotlights that beamed across the ceiling. A papier-mâché Hollywood sign had been erected on one side, and long silver streamers and black and white balloons were everywhere. A DJ spun the latest pop and alternative songs over a crowd of dancing students. 2 minutes in, and I already wanted to leave.
"You want something to drink?"
I shouted in Amber's ear.
"Sure, I see some friends. Meet me there?"
She pointed. I nodded and left to get us some punch, scanning the crowd for Violet without conscious thought. Shiloh's warning rang in my ears over the bass thundering in the gym. She was right. I had to be fair to Amber and not string her along. At the punch table, Ms. Sanders, my English teacher, guarded the bowl of red liquid like a hawk. She smiled when she saw me.
"Miller, so nice to see you here."
"Thanks. 2, please." "Your final essay on the Great Gatsby was pretty brilliant," she said, ladling 2 cups for me. "I'll return them on Monday, but spoiler alert, you received an A." "Cool." I took the cups. "And thanks for these. Miller, wait." She leaned over the table with both hands. "Your essay was beautiful, poetic even, but there were elements to it that frankly made me concerned." She smiled gently. "Is everything okay at home? I mean, now isn't the time or place."
"No, it's not," I said, and then softened my tone.
"I'm fine. Thanks for asking."
"Translation, things are shit. There's nothing you can do about it, but it's nice that you care."
Ms. Sanders read me loud and clear. "Okay, but my door is always open if you need to talk."
"Thanks."
"And hey, word is getting around that you're quite the musician. Guitar, right?"
"Where'd you hear that?"
"Some kids were passing around a video of you playing at a party. Mr. Hodges has started an instrumental club Tuesdays and Thursdays."
Miss Sanders smiled encouragingly.
"Could be something right up your alley."
I pressed my lips together.
"I have to work every Tuesday and Thursday. I have to work every day after school and all day Saturday."
Ms. Sanders' shoulders slumped.
"I wish that wasn't the case. Such a failure of our system that lets talented kids like you fall through the cracks so easily."
"I'll be okay. Kids like me have to get shit done on our own."
I hefted the cups.
"Thanks for the punch, Ms. S."
She smiled sadly.
"Take care, Miller."
No sooner had I left the table than 3 girls I vaguely recognized as new friends of Violet's accosted me.
"Miller, right?" said one. "I'm Julia,
This is Caitlin and Evelyn.
I took a step back, mindful I was holding two cups of red punch while wearing a white shirt.
Relax. We just wanted to say that your performance at Chance's party was amazing, Caitlin said.
Insanely good, Julia said. You're very talented.
Yeah, thanks.
Are you here with someone?
Evelyn asked, glancing at my cups with shrewd, calculating eyes under fake lashes. She was the prettiest of the three.
Amber Blake, I should get back.
Julia pouted.
I knew it. Too late.
Too late for what? But my words were drowned by the DJ dropping a beat and the gym exploding with sound.
You should have been hired to play this thing,
Evelyn shouted in my ear, moving in close.
You would have slayed it.
Violet is always telling us how talented you are.
My chest tightened at her name.
Thanks, I should go.
Hold on, care to spice those up?
She produced two mini bottles of vodka. I was about to say no, but then Julia said,
Oh, I see Violet. God, she looks so freaking pretty.
I gritted my teeth and forced myself not to follow Julia's line of vision. Tradition at Central was that the king and queen took their spotlight dance together, alone. The entire school would circle around River and Violet to watch them dance like a married couple at their wedding.
I can't. I fucking can't.
Evelyn was watching me with a knowing look.
Sure, hit me, I said.
She poured one bottle to each cup, leaned in, and planted a lingering kiss on my cheek.
Have a nice night, Miller.
The girls melted into the crowd of writhing bodies, likely to join Violet and River. I downed one cup of punch, the sickly sweetness hitting my tongue first, followed by the bite of vodka in the back of my throat. It warmed me from the inside out, and without thinking about the sugar intake or my numbers, I downed the second one. The night mellowed and smoothed out, turned liquid and murky in my vision. Somehow, I made it back to Amber.
No drinks? She laughed and took my hand. Come on, let's dance.
The DJ played Dance Monkey, and Amber bounced along to it, both my hands in hers.
I don't dance, I shouted blearily.
You're so cute.
She twirled herself in my arms, but I pulled out of her grasp. I was already having trouble keeping myself upright. The room spun, and I could feel my numbers dropping.
I gotta stop. Need air.
Amber moved in close.
Good idea. Let's go be alone.
She took my hand and led me out of the gym and into the cool night air. Around a corner and into a deserted hallway, I slumped against the wall. Amber pressed her body to me and kissed me hard, her hands roaming.
I've wanted to do this for weeks, Amber said between kisses,
her voice sounding like it came from miles away.
The way you sang at the party, it was like you were singing right at me, right into my soul.
God. I'm such an asshole.
I should have pushed her away and told her nothing could happen between us, but her mouth was insistent and hot. Her kiss, nothing like Violet's. But then, that was the point, wasn't it? To get over her and move on. Becoming a global musical superstar felt more realistic. I struggled to keep my head, but it swam in vodka. I was submerged under the sensations of Amber's body and hands and tongue, watching images swim by. Violet smiling at River, Chet's snarl, Ms. Sanders' pitying look, lights shutting off in my life, one by one. Amber dropped to her knees, her hands on the fly of my jeans. Amber, wait. After what was coming next, there'd be no going back. She looked up.
What's wrong?
Inside the gym, the muffled sound of the MC calling the king and queen to the floor for their dance, followed by raucous cheers. Violet, in River's arms, gazing up at him adoringly. Nothing. My head fell back against the wall as Amber freed me from my jeans. I moaned softly, shut my eyes, and let the world spin out from under me.
Chapter 12. Violet. Dear Diary, it's been a long time since I've written in here. Years, even. The last entry was the night I told Miller we should kiss, for practice, so that when the real deal came along, we wouldn't be so unprepared. But I had my first real kiss, and nothing could have prepared me. Miller sang for me so I could put him on YouTube and make him a star. And God, even before he sang a note, my body was humming. He took off his beanie and ruffled his hair. I'd never seen anything sexier in my life. So sexy because he had no idea the effect he was creating on me. I could hardly take it myself. Then he began to sing, and I could hardly hold the phone still. His voice, rough and low and so masculine, went right through me, my heart and soul, and God, even between my legs. I felt it, him, everywhere, like the best fever. And then he kissed me. I was completely unprepared, not only because it was my first, but I was shocked at how thoroughly he took my breath away, how he smelled and sounded and tasted so good, how perfect it felt, how right. It did everything a first kiss was supposed to do. It swept me off my feet and made me want more. It made me want him. My body now feels awake, alive. Miller told me he was okay with us being friends, but that was a lie. No boy kisses a girl like that unless he cares about her more than she could have ever guessed. I felt everything in Miller from his kiss. How he felt about me. How he'd probably been feeling about me for God knows how long. Maybe he's loved me for as long as I've loved him, which feels like always. And that scares me. I've spent years doing exactly what he accused me of, holding him at arm's length for the sheer, simple fact I love him too much. I love him so much I'd rather keep him in my life as a friend than ruin us. I know that sounds crazy, but good and precious things like Miller Stratton only come along once in a lifetime. To have him and lose him? I can't even write it. It nearly happened 4 years ago, and that night scarred me for life. But he kissed me, and now everything's different. I feel different and angry. He shouldn't have done it, but he did. And now I can't go back. And the worst part is, I don't want to. I shut my diary on those words, my confession, and exhaled a shaky breath. If I didn't hurry, I'd be late to the school where River Whitmore would be waiting for me. After the parade, we'd gone our separate ways so I could change for homecoming, while he had a victory dinner with his team. He suggested we meet at the dance in case his dinner ran late. Not exactly romantic, but okay. And I realized it didn't bother me anyway. My crush on River had begun long before I met Miller, but now I felt like I was clinging to it as a safety net. Miller's kiss cut the wires, and now I was falling. I wish Shiloh was there to slap some sense into me, but she wasn't going to the dance either. She had other plans. Evelyn had been acting cool toward me, and I was in too much emotional turmoil to call anyone else. I got dressed alone, donning a white ice-skating-style halter dress with lace at the hem, waist, and under the arms. Mom had taken me to a salon earlier that day, and they'd piled my hair onto my head in an elegant but messy bun with little daisy pins stuck here and there and tendrils curling down around my ears. I examined myself in the mirror. Homecoming queen. Nothing felt special or exciting. I was as lonely as I'd ever been on a Saturday night, and Miller wasn't going to come climbing through my windows to sing for me. He'll be at the dance with Amber. Shiloh had told me. That had hurt, but was no less than I expected. Or deserved, I said softly to my reflection. I'd hurt him, which was precisely what I wanted to avoid all along. But that's what love does. It hurts. And yet kissing Miller felt so good. I put another coat of lip gloss on, but it didn't help. It had been 4 days, and I could still taste him. I waited out in front of the school for River at 7 as planned, but there was no sign of him. I texted him, and there was no answer. Minutes passed, and I grew tired of waving sheepishly at students going by in couples or groups, many giving me curious stares. Maybe River's in the gym already and can't hear his phone. Walking the red carpet alone was more than slightly embarrassing, and inside, there was still no sign of River. I spied his teammates and their dates. No quarterback. Embarrassment warred with worry. Maybe something happened to him, or to his mom. "Have you seen River?" I shouted at Dante Weatherly, the star wide receiver.
"Yeah, he was at dinner with us. I thought he was coming straight here."
"Me too."
"He's probably just running late."
He flashed me his perfect white teeth, contrasting brightly with his warm brown skin.
"I'll text him for you, my queen, and let you know when he answers."
I smiled. "Thank you," I said, and wandered away, through a morass of dancing bodies. I scanned the crowd, but realized it wasn't River I was searching for. Evelyn, Caitlin, and Julia found me. They all looked beautiful. Caitlin in red, Julia in blue, and Evelyn in black with red roses clipped to her long black hair. "Where's River?" Julia asked. My cheeks burned. "Good question." Caitlin's eyebrows shot up while Evelyn wore a strange smile. "He's not here?" she asked. "I'm getting a little worried, actually," I said to combat the actual fear that I was being stood up. "We just saw one of the Lost Boys," Evelyn said. Lost Boys was her new nickname for Miller, Ronan, and Holden, outcasts who were seen roaming the boardwalk almost every night. Given the connection between Santa Cruz and the classic vampire movie set here, the name had spread like fire. She smiled sweetly. "You're Miller." My stupid heart fluttered, though I made my voice hard. "He's not mine." "I suppose that's true," she said as the DJ started Dance Monkey. She pointed through the crowd. "He's here with Amber." I followed her gaze. Amber looked beautiful in pink, real daisies twined in her long blonde hair that swayed and flowed as she laughingly tried to get Miller to dance. My eyes drank him up. He wore a suit coat, and his hair was damp from the shower, but for a stray lock that fell over his brow. Stubble still shadowed his angular cheeks, highlighting his full mouth and those lips that kissed me so perfectly. As I watched him, something in my heart unfurled, like a tight fist finally letting go. Warmth and lightness expanded in my chest. I sucked in a breath. He is mine. He's always been mine. Tears sprung to my eyes, but I willed them back. It wasn't fair of me to ruin anything between him and Amber. But if we could have a real talk before a spark caught fire between them, we might have a chance. If he hadn't already given up on me. If it wasn't too late. I took a step toward him and then Caitlin grabbed my arm, bouncing excitedly. "It's starting! Your dance with River!" Evelyn's smile could have cut glass, her eyes boring into me. I turned away to seek Miller again, but he and Amber were gone. Oh no. I stood on tiptoe in my heels, searching.
"And now," the DJ intoned, "it's time for your homecoming king and queen to come up here for their official coronation dance. Please help me first welcome your king, River Whitmore."
The crowd cheered and heads turned to look. The DJ tried again.
"Your king, River Whitmore."
My cheeks burned as a room full of eyes now were turning to me in pity and curiosity, some snickering and whispering. My phone vibrated a text within my clutch purse. Conscious that the entire school was watching me while the DJ stalled for time with dumb jokes, I pulled it out and read the text from River.
"I can't make it. I'm sorry."
Worry that something had happened to him or his mom evaporated, and humiliation flooded in. It carried with it a strange lightness, as if a burden had been lifted. "He's not coming," I murmured. My phone slipped out of my trembling hand and hit the gym floor. I glanced up to a sea of eyes still watching me. Julia and Caitlin gave me pitying stares, while Evelyn couldn't conceal the triumph in her smirk. Someone told the DJ to play another song, and music filled the gym, covering the murmurs and talk. None of it mattered. I had to find Miller. He mattered, and it had taken me long enough to realize it. I ran out of the gym and rounded the corner, the chilly night air cooling my burning cheeks, and stopped short. My breath caught. 20 or so yards away, just outside a cone of light, Miller sagged against a wall while Amber knelt in front of him, her back to me, her hands on his hips, her head bobbing. His eyes were closed, his handsome face twisted in a grimace of pain or pleasure. I couldn't tell. I swung back around the corner, my bare shoulder blades crashing against the rough cement. I clapped a hand to my mouth before any sound could escape. My breath rasped in my nose and my legs went weak. "Stupid," I whispered behind my hand, tears streaming. "I'm so stupid." And too late. 4 years and a few minutes too late. After a few ragged moments, the first sharp pain passed. The fist in my chest closed up tight again and sank to my stomach like a heavy lead ball. I sucked in deep breaths and dried my tears, leaving mascara smudges on the heels of my hands. Then I pushed off the wall and went home.
Part 3. Chapter 13. Miller. March. "Are we hanging out today or not?" I read the text from Amber and sighed. "Uh-oh," Holden said, walking to my left. Ronan was on my right as we crossed the grassy expanse leading into school on a sun-filled morning. "Girl trouble again. You could always switch to my team, you know. Less drama." I shot him a look. "Less drama?" "Okay, fine. I'm a handful. But if you told Amber you were gay, you could finally break up with her and put all of us out of our misery." "Word," Ronan concurred. I didn't say anything. They didn't get it. Yes, I stuck with Amber because, like an asshole, I'd let her go down on me at homecoming. Other guys might have ghosted her by now, but I wasn't like that. Amber was a human being who deserved to not be treated as if she were disposable. Moreover, I'd talked myself into wanting to date her. She was sweet, smart, and beautiful, like an unpolished Cara Delevingne, with long blonde hair and thick eyebrows. I hung out with her because I kept thinking this night or this date would be the one where the spark ignited and caught fire, and I could finally get over Violet. But the spark never caught, physically or emotionally. My stubborn heart refused to let go of Violet. I knew it never would. "You're right," I admitted. I stopped, glancing around. Students were huddled in their usual clusters before the first bell, but now they were all watching us, talking behind their hands and smiling. Girls offered flirty little waves. Guys tilted their head in greeting. "What the hell is this?" I looked to Ronan. "You?" He shrugged. "I just got off another suspension." His fourth. Ronan and Vice Principal Chowder had a relationship modeled after Bender and Mr. Vernon from the Breakfast Club. Ronan had spent more time in detention or suspended than he did in a classroom. "You spray-painted rapist on Mikey Grimaldi's brand new Jeep Rubicon?" I said. "Most girls consider you a hero. This could be for you." "They don't know that I did it," Ronan said. "And that's not what I got suspended for." Holden shot me a commiserating glance. "I know, I can't keep up with his vigilantism either." He gestured at the crowd with a flourish. This, my friend, is for you. Your performance at the Winter Talent Show, perhaps? Holden and Amber had pestered me to enter the school's annual talent show so relentlessly that I did it more to shut them up than anything. Plus, I figured I needed the practice of performing in front of a crowd. I thought I'd be scared shitless, but it was easy. Perfect. The stage was where I wanted it to be. It felt like home. Safer than the one I actually had. That was months ago, I said. This is some new shit. We crossed the quad and took a seat on the cement wall that separated the lower level of the school with the upper. Stares, waves, and murmurs followed. Quite the mystery, Holden said, leaning casually against the wall, one hand in the pocket of his long tweed coat, despite the fact that spring was rapidly approaching. Ronan put one booted foot up onto the ledge and rested his elbow on his knee.
Maybe Miller finally fucked Amber, and she's told the school about his magical, giant dick.
Holden's eyes widened.
How do you know his dick is magical and or giant? Are you two holding out on me?
Can you both stop talking about my dick? I snapped. And no, that's not it. We haven't. Never mind.
Holden sighed.
Still stuck on aggressive cuddling, are we? What are you waiting for?
Violet,
Ronan said. I didn't bother to argue.
Amber's getting fed up with me. Can't blame her.
You tried, Holden said. You served your blowjob mandated sentence, but I hereby grant you early release for good behavior.
Dump her, Ronan said.
Or what he said. I snorted a laugh at my friends as Evelyn Gonzalez approached. She wore a short, tight skirt, breast-hugging t-shirt, and her long black hair flowed in waves over her small, lithe stature. I took inventory of her assets with the same enthusiasm I used to take inventory of the prizes at the arcade. She was another beautiful girl in a school of beautiful girls that my heart and aforementioned magical dick didn't give a crap about, including my own girlfriend.
Aha, answers, Holden said as Evelyn joined us. Miss TMZ, do you know why the entire school is making eyes at our Miller?
Maybe, she said, a mischievous glint in her dark eyes under cat eye liner. Now, Shu, I need to talk to my Miller alone.
This is our spot, Ronan intoned.
Fine. Miller, can we go somewhere private?
Sure, I said, and hopped down off the wall.
Did you hear about his magical dick too?
Holden called after.
How am I the last to know?
I gave him the finger behind my back as Evelyn led me to a bench under a huge oak tree. For all her confident calm, she was practically bouncing in her skin as she took a Mac Air out of her stylish leather backpack.
Getting some attention this morning, are you? She said, powering it up.
Do you know why?
I do.
She turned her Mac screen to face me.
This is my fashion vlog. You'll note the subscriber count is well over 50,000.
Congrats.
Don't be an ass. As of last week, I had half that. But thanks to you.
She hit play on one of her highly produced videos. After she gave a brief intro about me, the screen flashed to a compilation of my performances, Chance's Party, Violet's YouTube video, and the Winter Talent Show.
That's why everyone's staring at you.
I frowned.
That was Violet's YouTube video, which she deleted.
Out of morbid curiosity, I had gone on YouTube to see if the video of me performing All I'll Ever Want had gained traction, or was only a breeding ground for snarky comments, but it was gone.
I deleted it, Evelyn said.
Why? How?
When River stood her up on homecoming night, Violet dropped her phone and ran out. I clenched my jaw. It wasn't news to me what that bastard had done, but it still pissed me off that he'd humiliated her like that in front of the entire school. Anyway, her phone was in my possession for more than 24 hours, and I'm a very curious person by nature. I found the video.
You snooped in her phone?
Relax, girls share everything. Anyway, I found the video of you playing, and it was... wow, just fucking wow.
For a second, Evelyn's carefully crafted and stylized artifice came down, and she looked truly moved. Then she shook her head.
On a hunch, she continued, I googled your name to see if that video or any others from Chance's party were up. That's when I found Violet's sad little YouTube channel. She was already logged in from her phone, so it was easy enough to go in and delete it.
Why?
Because you can't just throw your commodities onto the internet for free.
But you can't put it on your vlog? You fucking stole it.
I repurposed it. It's worth too much. I put it where it would bring me some ad revenue and help you get exposure.
Jesus. How long have you been planning this?
Since homecoming. Chance's party performance was great, but I needed one more ace. Proof that you could rock a crowd. The winter talent show fit that bill quite nicely. But then we went to Barbados for Christmas and the whole thing took some time to produce. She rolled her hand in lazy circles. Long story short, this weekend, you were the subject of my vlog's first ever musical spotlight. My subscribers got a taste of your talent, and as of this morning, the video of you singing All I'll Ever Want has been reblogged and shared on Twitter and TikTok thousands of times and counting. She smiled triumphantly. Oh, I forgot to mention, I have huge TikTok and Twitter followings too. I tried to absorb the fact my performances had reached a shit ton of people.
Do they like it?
Again, Evelyn's face softened. Oh, honey, of course they do. They love it. They love you. You should read the comments. Here, let me give you a sample. I waved my hands.
No, I couldn't feel this way. This hopeful. It wouldn't stick. Nothing did. Why would you do this? Just to promote yourself?
She rolled her eyes. Duh. But also to promote you. I'm your ticket to stardom. But we have some work to do. For starters, we need more video, preferably of you doing covers like that Amazeballs Yellow. Your own song is beautiful, but if someone wants an original Miller Stratton EP, then they need to pay for it. Plus, people love it when someone slays a song they know and recognize. It forms a connection.
Wait, hold on. What are you saying? You want to put me on your vlog and hope it goes viral?
Honey, you're already viral. Why do you think half the student body, especially the female half, has been drooling over you from afar all morning?
So what's the upshot? We make more videos?
After we give you a little makeover, of course.
No fucking way.
Do you want to have a career in music or not?
I sat back against the bench. I wanted to make music, and enough cash to take care of Mom, get rid of Chet, and never again have to choose between groceries or keeping the lights on, or see an eviction notice on our door. My memories shuffled through months of washing my hair in gas station bathrooms and cramming my long legs into the back seat of the station wagon while the forest night was thick and breathing outside the window. And Mom was out trying to bring home a few bucks.
Yes, I blurted.
I do.
Evelyn smiled. Then, this is how we do it. Trust. We shoot a few more songs, build a bigger following, and the world is going to stand up and take notice. You'll be whisked off to LA, and the rest is history.
I sincerely doubted it would be that easy. but what did I have to lose?
And what do you get out of it? I asked, my suspicions swooping back in.
I know you're not doing this out of the kindness of your heart. I'm that dirty kid who lived in a car, remember?
She shrugged, not put off by my accusation.
A diamond in the rough can only shine if someone scrapes off the dirt. And of course, I'm not doing this for free. I have my demands.
Which are? She shouldered her backpack as the first bell rang.
I'll let you know when the time comes, but you have to swear to uphold your end.
How can I do that if I don't know what your demands are? I shot her a look. I'm not killing anyone for you.
She laughed. I promise it's not something illegal. She offered her long, lacquer-nailed hand. Deal?
My eternal pessimism told me this was fucking crazy, but where had listening to that voice gotten me? I took her hand. Deal. We sealed it with one shake, and then she jumped off the bench.
Great. Meet me at my house after school today.
Can't. I work. Sunday is my only day.
She heaved a sigh. Fine, Sunday. I'll text you the address.
How did you get my phone number?
I had Violet's phone for an entire day, remember?
She glanced at my t-shirt under an unbuttoned plaid flannel and tapped her fingernail to her chin.
This adorable scruffy look works, but needs accessories.
Hell no, I said. I'm not dressing up as someone I'm not.
She rolled her eyes. Of course you won't. Luckily, this works for us. Rags to riches. Humble beginnings.
She touched her finger to the tip of my nose.
Leave it to me. I got you, boo.
Evelyn strode away, leaving me with a weird feeling in my chest. Her plan was nuts. The chances of anything coming of it were slim, weren't they? She'd said a diamond in the rough can only shine if someone scrapes off the dirt, the dust. And that's when I recognized the feeling in my chest. Hope.
Chapter 14. Violet. I carried the cup of steaming tea into Nancy Whitmore's bedroom. Spring was fast approaching, bringing warmer weather with it. A beam of brilliant afternoon sunlight fell over her, and I beamed with it. She's getting better. Somehow, against all medical odds, Nancy's stage 4 cancer was on a pause. Not in remission, but her tumor had shrunk and the cocktail of medications she took every day was holding it at bay, giving her time. Dacia, her best friend, was in town again, and her smile matched mine. Ah, yes, she looks radiant, doesn't she? She said in her faint accent. Over the last few months, I'd learned that Dacia was from Croatia, and that she and Nancy had been roommates at Washington University. Friends for life, like Shiloh and me. You do look radiant, I said to Nancy, and sat on the other side of the bed. I'm sad that my time as your PCV is ending, but it seems you won't be needing me anyway. Nancy smiled. Her skin was no longer sallow, and she'd gained a few pounds. You're sweet to stay with me so long. I'll miss you. Me too, I said, my throat thick. Over the last few months, I'd come to look forward to being with her. Her calm tone and gentle wisdom felt so maternal, especially since my own mom was caught up in her own turmoil with Dad. Would you mind giving us a minute, Dots? I'd like to have a word with Violet. Uh-oh, Dotsia grinned. I feel a Nancy talk coming on. She pinched my cheek on the way out. She's a wonderful school teacher, but Mr. Galling is a therapist. Agree, I said with a smile, though it faded fast. I suspected I knew what Nancy wanted to talk about. It's not about River, she said, as soon as the door clicked shut behind Dacia. I laughed. Am I that transparent? You wear your emotions all over your sweet face. She took my hand in hers. I know you haven't forgiven him for standing you up at homecoming. I can imagine that must have been very humiliating. A bit, but I have forgiven him. I've told him 100 times I've forgiven him. I don't understand why he keeps asking to see me. Nancy pursed her lips. You'll have to discuss that with him. He knows I'm disappointed at him for what he did to you, but I don't want to pry into his business beyond that. I'd prefer he come to me about personal things when he's ready. But what I wanted to talk to you about was you. Me? You seem so sad lately, and I know it's not because of my son. She cocked her scarf-wrapped head. You know that same policy I have for him extends to you. No pressure to share anything with me, I just want you to know that my door is open. My fingers plucked the coverlet. My parents are not happy. They fight a lot, and there's some other stuff going on with them that I don't want to bore you with. As much as I loved Nancy, there was no way I was going to air my family's suspected financial issues with her. Anything else? Nancy asked gently, in a way that said, I know there's something else. Yes, I sighed. But as much as I'd love your advice, I'm not sure it's appropriate to talk to you about another boy. Nancy patted my hand. Because I'm Rivers, Mom. I get it. How about you tell me what's bothering you and leave out the details? Not the who, what, and where. Just how you feel. But only if you want to. I do want to. Desperately. The last time my mom and I had a girl talk, it consisted of her making an appointment for me to see a gynecologist. Nancy's lip made a thin line. Then she smiled. I'm here. I met her clear blue eyes and tears filled up in mine. I screwed it up. Okay. I was so afraid of losing him or having our beautiful friendship fall apart that I pushed him away. I pushed him to someone else, and our friendship is hanging by a thread anyway. Everything I was afraid of happening happened, but not how I feared it would. Nancy offered me a tissue from her box. Reminds me of that old proverb, a person often meets her destiny on the road she takes to avoid it. There is a picture of me right next to that quote in a book somewhere. I stare down at the tissue in my hands. God, I'm such a coward. You're not a coward. Nancy's voice was firm. How many times did you see Mr. Whitmore in here last winter? Not very much. I figured he was working. He was, but he was also scared. River and Amelia, too. They got over it, but it took time. It's very difficult to look at someone you love and see only the day they might leave you. Her voice gentled. The urge to protect one's heart is the strongest urge of all, but it's also impossible if you want to live a rich, full life. I thought back to the night Miller almost died in my arms, and seeing him outside the dance with Amber. The pain was knife-like and brutal. There was nothing rich or full about life without Miller in it, or watching him be with someone else, especially when I was the one who drove him away. I dried my tears and put on a smile. Thanks for talking with me. But you don't believe me, she said gently. I appreciate your advice, but there's nothing I can do. Talk to him? He doesn't want to talk to me, and I can't mess up what he has with her. They've been together for months now. The last thing I want is to cause any more trouble. I smiled grimly. Another proverb. I made my bed, and now I have to lie in it. Alone. I got to my feet. I'll go tell Dacia she's no longer banished. At the door, Nancy's voice stopped me. If we were all born perfect and wise, always making the right decisions and never any mistakes, there wouldn't be much point in living, would there? I turned, and she was smiling knowingly at me. Life's a journey, not a destination. I smiled. I see what you did there. Your proverb game is strong, Mrs. W. She laughed, full and throaty, and healthy. And so are you, Violet, more than you know. I left Nancy's room, shutting the door behind me, and crashed headlong into River. My nose smarted from meeting the hard planes of his chest. He wore jeans and his Letterman jacket over a t-shirt and smelled faintly of motor oil from his dad's shop. Oh, hey, I said, rubbing my nose. I looked up, and up. The guy was a mountain, and as gorgeous as ever, and yet my heart didn't so much as flutter to be this close to him.
"Hey," he said, "do you have a minute? I want to talk to you."
"River, I told you, we're cool."
"I know, but I..."
He rubbed the back of his neck and then pulled me away from his mom's room.
"I want you to give me a second chance."
"We've been over this. I don't think..."
"I like you, Violet."
I blinked. "You do?"
"Well, yeah. I think we make a good pair."
I scrunched my nose. "We do? We hardly speak to each other." He huffed in frustration.
"Look, I've been crazy busy all winter and haven't had time to catch my breath. My dad put all kinds of pressure on me to play well and get into NCAA, top 10 school. Scouts were crawling all over the field every practice and watching every game. It's been insane."
"I get that, but..."
"But football season is over now."
He took both my hands in his, lightly.
"I want us to try again. And this time, I won't flake on you. I swear."
"We've never really talked or hung out."
"That's my fault because I've been so busy. You know how it is, right? Getting your college apps together."
"Yeah, that was nerve-wracking as hell," I said with a laugh. "Worse, I put in for early decision. I should be hearing back any day now." I'd applied to UC Santa Cruz, of course, and then UCSF, Georgetown, Baylor, and the University of Cincinnati for backup. Just thinking about getting the letter with UCSC on the envelope made me queasy with excitement. River misread the light in my eyes. He smiled, and a hint of his usual insouciant charm returned. The casual confidence of the star quarterback who could get any girl he wanted. So why me?
"Just promise me you'll think about it, okay?"
He bent and kissed my cheek, leaving me in the hallway with the warm feel of his lips and the slight scratch of his stubble on my skin. I sighed. I had thought about it, about him. But the problem with thinking about River Whitmore these days was that my thoughts immediately pivoted right to Miller Stratton. He'd set up permanent residence in my mind and my heart, and there was no room for anyone else. Too late. I fell in love with my best friend, and I'm too late. "Hey, you," Shiloh said, falling in step beside me after school the next day. She wore billowy bohemian pants and a sleeveless linen shirt, her braids pulled back from her elegant neck. Earthy metal jewelry of her own creation glinted in the late afternoon sun. "You're a hard person to get a hold of these days." "Sorry. Busy with school and now soccer practice. First game is coming up." I glanced at her sideways. My friend was always beautiful, but she looked extra radiant today. "And I could say the same about you. I feel like it's been ages since we hung out. What have you been doing lately?" "And with who?" "Because it has been ages," she said, avoiding my question. "But we're here to talk about you, specifically you and Miller." I stopped and shook my head. "There is no me and Miller. Remember homecoming? Do you need an episode recap?" "Don't be bitter. It's not your style." Her lips pursed. "Okay, here's the deal. I've been patient with both you and Miller, and Amber is a friend, but enough is enough." "What's that mean?" "It means..." Her words trailed as she spied something over my shoulder. I turned to look, and my throat tightened to see Miller and Amber walking hand in hand to the front of the school. A heavy ball smacked my chest and then sunk into my stomach. She was on her phone, and his gaze was out and away. They walked as far apart from each other as possible, except for their tethered hands, as if it were the only thing keeping them from floating off in different directions. Shiloh gave my arm a gentle squeeze, bringing me back around. "You see that body language? Do they look like a happy couple in love?" I flinched at her choice of words. "That's just one moment in time. Who knows what they're like alone? At night. In his bed." God, my stupid heart had no right to ache at the thought. Of course he'd lost his virginity to her by now. Or hell, maybe to someone during any of the years in which I'd kept him locked in the friend zone. And he had every right. He waited for me long enough. "Hey," Shiloh said, dragging me from my thoughts. I know what they're like alone, because they both tell me. In a word, he's miserable, and she's frustrated and on the brink of dumping his ass. I didn't hear much after miserable. He is? But why stay with her? Why date her in the first place? Shiloh's voice softened. Why do you think? To get over you. A moment passed as I took this in. I swallowed my tears down. I don't know what to say, Shy. They're together now, and trust me, it's not serious. Homecoming looked pretty serious to me. She sighed. I know. I warned Miller not to get involved with Amber, and he did it anyway. Now he's trying his best to be a good guy. I'm sure he even likes her, but I'm not sure he'll ever be over you. I tried to keep my face neutral and my voice steady. So why not break up? Because he's doing the honorable thing. Because things went too far that night and he doesn't want to bail on her. Because he's a good guy. Even if he's stubborn as hell. She arched a brow. You two have that in common. I shook my head. What am I supposed to do, Shy? Barge into their relationship and then what? What happens next? It's not like my fears of us being ruined have magically evaporated. Uh-huh. And how's not even talking to him working out for you? He's miserable, but so are you. Neither one of you are capable of being happy without the other. At the very least, you guys need to fix your friendship. Start there and see what happens. How do you know all this stuff about him and Amber anyway? From her? Shiloh began to walk and I followed to catch up. And him. I'm getting it in stereo. Does Miller talk to you a lot? Sort of. I've been hanging out with the so-called Lost Boys at their beach shack under the lighthouse cliffs. Jealousy stabbed me in the gut. I wasn't aware that they had a shack. Because you've been so busy with your college apps and study loads and not talking to Miller. She smiled and looked away. It's nice. Bonfires at night. The guys drink beer and behave like horses' asses most of the time. But it's nice. Miller invited you? No, Ronan. My eyebrows shut up. Really? Since when are you two friendly? He sits right next to you in our history class and you never talk. She waves a hand. He's an asshole. I can barely tolerate him. But it's worth it to sit and watch the ocean, and nothing smells better than a beach bonfire. And I say all this because it's high time you were there, too. I'm not going anywhere I'm not wanted, Shy, I said. Being stood up at homecoming in front of the entire school aside, I still have a shred of dignity. On that note, Miller told me Evelyn Gonzalez stole your phone that night, took the video of him singing, All I'll Ever Want, and put it on her vlog. My mouth fell open. She did what? Shiloh pulled out her phone. I was hoping you gave her permission, but I guess she didn't even tell you. She returned it to me the next day, but didn't say a word about Miller. She and I haven't been close lately. But she and Miller are? I watched the vlog footage, marveling through my shock at Miller's beautiful voice, his talent, and that sexy as hell way he'd taken off his beanie to run his hand through his hair. Moments after that song ended, he'd kissed me. The video finished. That explains why everyone's been smiling and being nice to him. Oh, you noticed that too? Shiloh put her phone away. Yeah, he's suddenly the town famous person. They should be nice to him, but they should have been nice to him this entire time, not just because of this. Agreed. Shiloh put her arm around me. You've always treated him the way he deserved to be treated. Come to the shack. You're wanted there. Believe me. She gave me a squeeze. And not just by me. A few days later, I worked up the nerve to take Shiloh up on her offer. As the sun set behind the ocean, she led me on a crazy path over jagged, porous boulders, while the tide washed over our ankles. You're not taking me out here to murder me, are you? I asked, tripping over a tangle of seaweed while protectively clutching a paper bag, holding the six-pack of beer I'd stolen from Dad, an offering to the Lost Boys for having me at their bonfire. My Converse were drenched, and the rolled-up cuffs of my jeans were damp. This is getting a little rough, Shy. Almost there. Shiloh wore sandals and another pair of billowy linen pants.
We'd both worn hoodie sweatshirts, as she'd worn the wind could be bitter at night, fire or no fire. I followed her slim shape, her long braids flowing behind her, and was relieved to see the terrain grew easier and farther away from the ocean. We rounded a huge boulder, and there he was. Miller sat on a worn-out beach chair in front of a roaring fire, his guitar case at his side. Ronan Wentz and Tolan Parrish sat in similar chairs, and they were all talking shit and laughing. The shack was a little fisherman's hut built against the rock. "Hello, boys," Shiloh said, stepping into the ring of light. She looked pointedly at Miller. "You all remember Violet, don't you?" Miller met my eye, and I swear the smallest flicker of a smile touched his lips, then vanished. Shut down. He was guarding his heart the same way I had been for 4 years. We're like a pendulum, swinging back and forth, I thought, wondering when or if we'd ever be unguarded at the same time. "Miss Violet," Holden said, rising to his feet and offering me his chair, right next to Miller. "Please sit." He kicked at Ronan's boot. "Wentz, mind your manners for fuck's sake, we have company." Ronan pulled in his long legs that had been stretched out to the fire so I could cross to the chair. "I come bearing gifts," I said with a small smile. "An IPA. I hear it's good." "You're an angel," Holden said, taking the bag from me and dumping it in Ronan's lap. "He's in charge of libations." Ronan grunted and shot Holden a scowl, then turned his silvery eyes on me. I knew next to nothing about him except that he was constantly in trouble at school and that Frankie Dowd had made it his life's mission to one day kill him. Judging by Ronan's bulk, his muscled and tatted arms, and the dangerous aura around him, I guess he had little to fear. He could break scrawny Frankie in half. But I wasn't prepared for the shrewd intelligence in his gaze that followed me to my seat. Holden procured two more chairs, one for Shiloh, between Ronan and Miller, and another for himself, between Ronan and me.
"The circle is complete," Holden said, and then his smile slipped at a sudden thought. "Almost."
"Hi," I said to Miller. Shiloh had assured me he knew I was coming, but I still felt like an unwanted guest.
"Hey."
He took a pull from his beer. I bit back the urge to ask how he was feeling and how his diabetes management had been going. That was Amber's job now and that of his friends. I wasn't sure if we were even that anymore. "How have you been?" I asked.
"Good. You?"
"Fine." Jesus, making small talk with Miller after years of deep, thoughtful debates and bickering conversations about life was torture. I met Shiloh's gaze from across the fire. She jerked her head and mouthed the word, "Go." I cleared my throat and leaned in to Miller. He smelled of smoke and salt and whatever made him, him. "Can we talk? Maybe take a walk?" He stared at the fire, walls up, his eyes hard. But when he turned to answer me with a no on his lips, his gaze softened slightly.
"Sure."
He stood up and offered me his hand. I took it, my heart pounding. The last time we'd touched was months ago, when he kissed me. His hand was hard and rough in mine, but gentle, and he pulled me to my feet and then let go.
"We'll be right back," he told the group,
a slight emphasis on right back. Feeling three pairs of eyes on us, I dusted sand off my butt and followed Miller. The shack sat in a dead end, where the cliffs had collapsed and slid into the sea. He led us back the way we had come, away from the bonfire, to the relatively smooth patch of sand before the way became trickier again. The full moon provided our light. Miller was silent, hunched in his plaid flannel, waiting for me to speak. My pulse pounded in my ears like the surf, scared to death that I'd lost him completely, and afraid to know for sure. Nancy's word came back to me that I wasn't a coward. I drew a breath. "I'm sorry." Miller frowned, wary.
"For what?"
"For what happened between us. For everything." His shoulders came down a little.
"It's not your fault. I shouldn't have kissed you." The wind blew my hair over my face, hiding the pain that flashed over me. When I could think of nothing else but our kiss, he regretted it. The pendulum had swung to me and wasn't going to budge. "Whatever happened, happened," I said. "I came here tonight for the simple fact that I miss you. I miss my friend. That's all I wanted to say. These last months have been really hard without you, and I just wanted you to know that." It was silent but for the wind and the ocean crashing on the shore. Miller stopped and half sat, half leaned on a boulder, hands in his pockets, his knit beanie keeping the hair from his eyes as they looked up at me.
"A bunch of stuff to say to you popped in my head when you asked me if we could talk," he said gruffly. "Cutting or cold things meant to push you away, keep you at a safe distance. But I don't want to hurt you. It's really the last fucking thing I want to do."
I shivered, hugged myself in my sweatshirt. "I don't want you to be hurt either. I love seeing you here with your friends. I'm glad you have them. So glad for that." Miller's jaw clenched, a muscle ticking in his cheek. Finally, he threw up his hands.
"Jesus, Vi, you're standing there looking like you do, saying sweet things and making it impossible."
"To what?" I breathed.
"Nothing. Never mind. I miss you too. You've always been there for me. Always. And to not have you."
He crossed his arms, as if holding his walls in place. His voice turned ragged with regret.
"But I'm seeing someone else, and I don't take any commitment lightly."
"I know you don't. I'm not here to interfere, I promise. But if I am, I'll go. I'll leave you alone. Even if it wrecks me." He watched me for a second, then gave a short laugh, shaking his head.
"You leave me alone?"
I frowned, confused. "I don't..."
"Dr. McNamara can't leave a patient alone if she tried. How hard has it been for you to not ask me about my numbers?"
I eased a breath, understanding what he was doing. "Damn near impossible." I crossed my arms and gave him a stern look, even as my heart was bursting with joy and relief. "Well, how are they? How many beers have you had?" He chuckled and pushed himself off the rock toward me.
"They're fine. I've had one beer and I'll have one more. That's it."
He was standing in front of me now. "Good," I said, my throat thick. "And if you try for a third, I'll throw sand in it."
"I bet you would."
Miller's smile faded as he looked down at me. Strands of hair were stuck to my cheek by the wind. His hand came up as if he wanted to brush them away, his eyes on my mouth. Then he caught himself and stepped back.
"You're shivering," he said. "We should get back to the fire."
"Okay." I wanted a hug to seal the deal. I ached to feel his arms around me, to lose myself in the familiarity of him, but I guessed he felt we weren't there yet. I swallowed back my disappointment and contented myself with the fact that we were talking again. He had a girlfriend now, and it wasn't fair or right to ask for more. We returned to the circle of friends. Shiloh immediately read on my face that things were better. Not to where they had been. After the earth-shattering kiss, they probably never would be. But it was a start. She smiled, and I smiled back. Holden read the lessening of tension between Miller and me like an MC reading the room. He was pretty drunk, I noticed, his clear green eyes bleary with whatever he was sipping from his flask.
"They're back. Got it all sorted? Got it all straight between you?"
"Shut up, Parrish," Ronan intoned.
"Fuck off, Wentz," Holden shot back. "The long winter of our discontent and his moping is finally over. Time to celebrate."
Miller ignored his friend's bickering and looked to me.
"You want a blanket or something?"
"Sure, thanks." I scooted from the chair to sit in the soft sand. Miller and Ronan procured more blankets from the shack, along with hot dogs, chips, and ingredients to make s'mores. The five of us talked and laughed and ate, Holden louder than the rest of us, Ronan the quietest. I watched him and Shiloh closely without letting on, but if there was something between them, it didn't show. Their entire conversations that night consisted of trading barbs and sarcasm. Holden leaned into me.
It's shameless how they flirt, isn't it?
Flirt? They hate each other, I whispered back.
Do they?
He rubbed his narrow chin thoughtfully.
I guess it depends on your perspective.
Before I could ask him what that meant, he turned to Miller.
Hey, superstar, stop being so stingy. It's against some law to have a perfect night, a beach, bonfire, but no music. Play.
Shiloh and I clapped our hands and whistled, and then Holden joined in.
Okay, okay, Miller said. I didn't want to be that asshole. Too late,
Ronan and Holden said together, and clinked beer bottle to flask. Miller flipped them the bird and set his guitar in his lap. His fingers took their places on the guitar, as if they'd been born there, and he launched into an acoustic cover of Take Me to Church by Hoosier. Miller's voice wasn't as deep as Hoosier's, but the rough around the edges growled.